O Lord, our God, we do pray for your grace to help, that you may give us ears to listen to your word and hearts to remember our own baptism, that we have been baptized into Christ, united to Jesus in his death and also to his life. So Lord, help us to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Oh, that you may give us grace to say no to sin every day, to cleave to Jesus our Lord, to draw from Christ his resurrection life. We pray that life may be given us as we hear the preaching of your word. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. Let us turn to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1. And our text is very simple, verses 46 to 47. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Now this morning we have a very special service. We are going to have the baptism of Mary Chai and also Joy's confession of faith. For Joy, she'll be claiming the baptismal blessing that she's been given some 20 years ago. For Mary, she'll be baptized into Christ in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, well, I want to find a text that both of them can remember 60 years from now, even beyond that. And I would like to pick up something very simple, very memorable, or very meaningful. So I thought I'm going to pick a text that has Mary and Joy together. And that's why I pick up this text. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Now these are the words of the mother of our Lord in her song, which usually are called in Latin Magnificat. I don't know how to sing this in Latin. You can ask our elder Stephen, maybe he can help us. You notice in this song Mary is overflowing with joy, and Mary's joy is rooted deep in the soil of the Bible. Mary, the mother of our Lord, was about 16 to 17 years of age, could be younger, couldn't be much older. And she was engaged to Joseph and was expecting for the consummation of the pledged marriage to Joseph sometime later. And suddenly, an angel appeared to her and told her her life calling. And she was overjoyed. She was overjoyed. We have great expectation of God's grace in Joy's life. Not that Joy will become a Miss Universe or the Prime Minister of Australia, but we trust God's grace will be upon her, that she will honor and serve the Lord, her God, all through her life. Maybe Joy one day will become a teacher. Maybe, I say. If she becomes a teacher, what a calling that will be. She will have an impact upon hundreds and thousands of students in the years to come. I remember in high school, we had a very good geography teacher. I'm not sure whether he was a Christian or not, but he made a tremendous impact on the students of her first year of teaching. Hundreds of us. And almost all of us wanted to study geography. In the class, there was a girl who was destined to become one of the greatest conductors in Asia. And she confessed when she was asked, if you did not become a professional musician, what would you do? And she said, I would be studying geography. The reason? Because this teacher was so enthusiastic about teaching geography. He would just be talking and talking until he ran out of saliva. And so enthusiastic, so conscientious, and we all love geography. Not because geography is so interesting, but because of the teacher's enthusiasm. Well, coming back to Mary here. Mary, the mother of our Lord, had a deep and profound understanding of the Old Testament scriptures. You look at Mary's song, Magnificat. It is so much like the Psalms. Don't you feel like that? You read Mary's song again and again. You say, this could be Psalm 155. There's no Psalm 155. But this is a continuation of the Psalms, very much like the Psalms. Yes, one commentator, William Hendrickson, has listed in detail at least 30 Old Testament scriptural references that Mary's songs refer to. Over 30 Old Testament references in such a short song or poem. Mary was steeped in the Old Testament scriptures. She literally breathed scriptures. Her blood was the bleed, so to say. She flows Bible in her blood. And of course, Mary's song, first of all, harks back to Hannah's song. You remember Hannah? I know a few Hannahs. And they all were wonderful Christian women. Hannah, the first Hannah in the Bible, is the mother of the prophet Samuel. And Hannah, after she gave birth, she sang her song, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. If you are quick, you can turn to that, otherwise, just listen. In Hannah's song, she prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Hannah's song in 1 Samuel 2 was very old. It was older than all the Psalms except Psalm 90. It was over 1,000 years before Jesus. 3,000 plus before our time. Now, for all of you, some of you know this by heart, but this time frame, Abraham is about 2,000 years before Jesus. Remember that? Members here of Maruba Presbyterian Church? Abraham, 2,000 years before Jesus. David, 1,000 years before Jesus. And Moses, about 50 years before Jesus. Think about that. If you can't remember that, remember Abraham 2,000 years before Jesus. Moses 1,500 years before Jesus. David 1,000 years before Jesus. And can't you feel that Mary's song just harking back to Hannah's song? It's almost like, not plagiarized, no. Almost like a copycat. Not quite, but it's because she's just so full of the Bible. that Jesus naturally talks Bible and prays God in Bible language. You look at her song. Go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 49. And just feel the language. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich is sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. This is just Bible language, an Old Testament language, not New Testament language, Old Testament language. And Mary talks about God's covenant promise to Abraham and to his seed forever. 2,000 years before Jesus, God promised Abraham, in your seed, all the nations shall be blessed. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in your seed. 2,000 years ago. No, so 2,000 years before Jesus, 4,000 years ago, God promised the Tongans, the Indonesians, the Australians, the Singaporeans, the Greeks, the Chinese, the Taiwanese shall be blessed in the seed of Abraham. Who is this seed? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary here talks about God's covenant mercy from generation to generation. All through the Old Testament history, the people of God suffer so much, primarily because of their disobedience to God. They were so unfaithful. They denied God. They worshiped idols. And that's why they were punished. But God was faithful to them from generation to generation, despite their failures and disobedience. And Mary mentioned here that God is holy. God is apart from this universe. God is absolutely pure. This is God's character. And Mary also mentioned that God is mighty. And she mentioned God's judgment in bringing down the proud. We live in very proud times, and there are many arrogant people. Some of them we know personally. But Mary talks about God in his kindness will lift up the lowly and help the needy. Well, there may be some of you who are this morning who are weak and are in need. You look to Christ, God will lift you up. So Mary mentioned all these things, themes in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament language, the promises of God, the characters of God, and you know, my dear friends, all these were to be accomplished in Mary's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' crucifixion, in his death for sinners, in his resurrection, in his victory over death itself. Now, this is the song of Mary. And at that moment, spontaneously filled with the Holy Spirit, she just burst out such a magnificent, glorious song. And in so doing, she had personally appropriated the Bible to herself and God's covenant mercies and promises to herself. Listen to our text again. This is what Mary says. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. God is my Savior. My Savior. I don't know about your financial situation. Suppose if you are in need of money, what good it is to be told, in the Bank of England's vault, there are tons of gold. You are in need, you are poor. You may have difficulty to pay your next bill, or to pay off your mortgage, or to pay your rent. Well, people tell you, there are tons of gold in the Bank of England, in the vault there. Say, what good is that? People tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. You say, what has that to do with me? Jesus may be the Savior of the world. But I want to know, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. He will save my soul and my body. He will carry me through this life and the glory. God is my Savior. This is what Mary says. Friends, let me ask you, do you say that? Do you say that? You might be brought up in church, like John. But can you say with Mary, God is my Savior? This morning, Mary and John are saying, God is my Savior. And look at our text again. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. You know what is Mary talking about here? He's not doing anatomy. He's not cutting up a human person, cutting herself up and say, well, I have a soul, I have a spirit. No. By soul and spirit, they are talking about Mary's entire person. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. This is my total being. This is poetic language, you understand? This is not language of anatomy. My entire being has rejoiced in the Lord, my God. My entire being is magnifying the Lord. You notice? Mary, the mother of our Lord, had not attended college. She didn't go to university. She was only able to go to the synagogue weekly. Might be there was a synagogue school for girls, I'm not sure. But she learned the Bible from parents, from attending synagogue worship. She won't have a Bible with her as a pillow, so to say. No, she memorized the Bible in her heart, being taught by parents, heard the teachers in synagogue taught, and she put the Bible in her heart. And she meditated on the Bible. She regurgitated the Bible. My dear friends, let me say this to you. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's one thing to take off the list of your daily quiet time, your daily Bible reading. Well, that's good, but not good enough. Don't just read the Bible. Eat the Bible. Chew over the Bible, swallow the Bible, feed your soul with God's Word. Regurgitate the Bible, think over the Bible day and night. This is what Mary did. Be like Mary. She chewed over God's Word, she regurgitated God's Word, she tasted that the Lord is good. This is how we should meditate, we regurgitate the Bible. Look at our text again. Mary says, "My soul has rejoiced in God, my Savior." I wonder, what do you think God is like? You talk to the average Australian. You ask them, what is God like? Or they know you go to church and you may ask them, well, what do you think of the God I believe in? I think the average Australian think of God, the God of the Bible, as someone who is mean, demeaning, restrictive. The God of the Bible is the God who doesn't allow me to get drunk, to take drugs, to do things I like. The God of the Bible wants me to go to sleep early, to get up early, to live a disciplined life, to be diligent. This God is restrictive. Is it not the picture that so many Australians have of the God of the Bible? My dear friends, I want to tell you, the God of the Bible is the God of joy. Deep, deep down in the hearts of God is joy. Because God is love. And right there in the very hearts of God, if we may use human language, is joy. From all eternity to all eternity, there is joy within the Godhead, the Trinitarian joy. The Father joys over the Son, and the Son rejoices in the Father. The Spirit is the Spirit of joy. The God of the Bible is a happy God, if we may say that. And that's why a leading fruit of the Spirit is joy. This morning, we as God's people, we should be joyful. There's no testimony to the Christian faith if we wear a long face, if we are sad all the times. I'm not saying that you should put up a false smile and just pretend to laugh when you're in sadness. There's time to shed tears. But joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I wonder, maybe after church, we can ask Alina and Peter, who gave the name joy to joy? I'm going to give something special to joy this morning. I'm going to give her a list of the Bible words on joy. And you'll be surprised. There are many Bible words for joy. And I can't remember them all. Well, in Greek, the name... Is it in Greek? That's in Hebrew, I think. Yeah, sorry, Hebrew. I mixed up my Greek and Hebrew. Greek is chara. But Hebrew got many more words for joy. One is winna. Winna here. Winna. Another is simha. How about that? And then many others. I'm going to give that to joy. And I got a few also. If you're interested, I'm going to give a copy to you. Just ask. There are many words for joy in the Bible because God is the God of joy. In Psalm 16, the end of that psalm, it tells us, in God's presence is fullness of joy. At God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. We notice with a few young people here this morning. Where do you find joy? Well, it's over there, I know. It's over there. But where do you find joy? Where do you find this fullness of joy? In God's presence. At God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. You go for any earthly joy. Any earthly pleasures, they will only last for a while. I remember as a child, one of my yearly joy is to go to grandmother's birthday banquet. We said the banquet, but only two tables, all the cousins together, and we can have soft drink unlimited in glass bottles. And I remember grandmother would say something like this to us, "Well, dear child, you take the abalone. I can no longer eat that sort of stuff. Or the chicken, you be careful of chicken bones or fish bones and so on." And I thought to myself at that stage, grandmother is very strange. Why doesn't she like to eat abalone? Well, too chewy for old people who have no teeth. Be careful when you eat chicken with the bones and the fishes in it. When you get old, it's like that. A friend, in God's presence, is fullness of joy. A God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now we move on. So first of all, Mary's joy was rooted in the Bible. Secondly, Mary's joy was strengthened by her obedience. You know the famous passage in Luke chapter 1, isn't it? Mary, this young teenage girl, the angel Gabriel, one day suddenly appeared to her and said to her, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." All of a sudden, Mary's world was turned upside down. This was the last thing she was expecting. What is this? The angel told her, "You are going to bear the Messiah. And not just that, you are going to bear God." In the Chalcedonian definition of Christ, it called the mother of our Lord Jesus to be a God bearer, Theotokos. God bearer, usually translated as Mother of God. What does that sound like to you? You say, "Well, it sounds like Roman Catholic, isn't it? Mother of God, well, how can it be?" Let me tell you, all the Reformed and the Protestants and the Lutherans subscribe to that definition as well. The whole church subscribed to the Chalcedonian definition. Mary was going to bear God in her womb. Now, initially, Mary was confounded. She said, "How could this be? I've never known a man. It's impossible." Mary's concern was about how she, as a chaste girl, as a virgin girl with no relationship with any man, could bear a child. But the angel gave her a Trinitarian answer. Look at verse 35 in Luke chapter 1. And you're going to hear something absolutely profound that we cannot fathom the depth. The angel Gabriel's answer goes like this: "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." You see the Trinity here? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. God the highest will be overshadowing you. And the Holy One, literally in the original Greek, is the whole, that holy stuff. That holy stuff, who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. This is God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is going to create that holy stuff. This is incarnation, the flesh of our Lord Jesus. the human soul and flesh and body of Christ our Lord. And that body stopped to be born, is actually the Son of God. Who can understand that? Later on, the angels are going to call that embryo, which is to be there in Mary's womb, the fruit of your womb. It's the fruit of the womb of Mary. And the fruit of that womb, now I'll use my language very carefully, was created by God. But the eternal Son of God was not a creature. Instead, the eternal Son of God became flesh, took upon himself a human nature, a human soul and body, remaining what it was. The Son of God became what he was not. Who can understand this? Who can pose death? Certainly not Mary at that stage. But what did Mary do? Did Mary say to the angel, "What are you talking about? I don't understand. I can't accept this." Listen to how did Mary reply in verse 36, 38, as you say. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary replied, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary obeyed completely. "Look, I'm a slave girl of the Lord." The word there for maidservant is, you heard of the word doulos? Slave. But in the feminine form, it's doule. "I am a maidservant of the Lord. I'm a slave girl of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." I'm not going to rebel. I'm going to obey. Mary's submission to the Lord is complete. Hers is a wholehearted surrender to the Lord. Is that you, my dear friends? Is that you? Can you say to the Lord, "Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Whatever you want me to go through, I will go through. Whatever you want me to endure, I will endure." Can you say with Mary, "Behold, a slave of the Lord, a maidservant of the Lord." And Mary's obedience was immediate. The angel told her, "Your aunt, Elizabeth, your relation, who was known to be barren, an old woman, she's now with child in a 6 month," implying, "Go and see her." And she obeyed immediately. Mary, the mother of our Lord, is one of the most beautiful characters in the whole Bible. Well balanced, stable, quiet, submissive, gentle, not loud. She was a quiet and gentle soul. We can draw a bit of a contrast to Elizabeth, her relation. When Elizabeth met up with Mary, or Mary went to see her, Elizabeth was so excited. In verse 42, Elizabeth spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth, an old woman, maybe in her 60s, she just was so excited and boisterous. married a teenage girl, so gentle and quiet. I would like to think a 16-year-old contrasting with a 61-year-old, and a 16-year-old is so much more mature. But in all fairness to Elizabeth, she was a mother of Israel, she was status in society, people knew her, and she used to talk loud anyway, because she was a matriarch without having kids. Mary had a gentle and quiet spirit. My dear friends, it's not just for girls in our congregation. It's for older men as well. We all imitate Mary's hope and trust in the Lord our God. And to have the gentle and quiet spirit. One more thing. Mary's joy led her to magnify the Lord all through her life. Let me read to you our text again and see whether I can pick up something interesting. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." I read this text hundreds of times over the years, and I always stumble upon it, and I say, how come Mary says, "My soul magnifies" in the present tense, and "my spirit has rejoiced" in the past tense? In Greek, the aorist tense. I say, well, wouldn't it be better if Mary should say, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior"? That sounds more flowing, isn't it? Until I prepared for this message, I dug deeper into that, and now I understand a little bit more. There's a reason. The difference in tenses is interesting. I think what Mary is saying here is this: my spirit has a definite experience of submitting to God and rejoice in God, my Savior. I have learned to bow to God's will. I've experienced a definitive experience of joy. Therefore, from now on, I'm going to magnify the Lord all through my life. This is what she said. My spirit has rejoiced. It was a definite experience. She had a great leap of faith in God and personal experience of God with that appearance of the angel, with that life calling announced to her, and she bowed to the will of God, and from now on, she's going to magnify the Lord. Present tense. Going on. Continues. And you all know that Greek word for magnifying the Lord. You say, "I don't know Greek." You do. You know thousands of Greek words already. Because in the English language, I embedded many, many Greek words. You know that Greek word for magnifying the Lord? Literally, it is, listen, mega, M-E-G-A. I'm going to mega God. I'm going to mega God. I'm going to make God great. I'm going to make God look great and significant and important. That's the word. I'm going to mega God. I'm going to magnify God all through my life. Present tense. My dear friend, what is sin? Let me ask you, what is sin? Sin is to belittle God. seems to make God small, insignificant, and unimportant. And many people are saying that, well, God is so small, He doesn't even deserve 1 hour of my time every week. Maybe even not just that. God is so small, He's unimportant, He's insignificant. Sport is more important, money is more important, family is more important. When you belittle God, you disgrace Him, you humiliate Him. But when we magnify God, we are going to show and to say, God is most important in my life. He is of great significance to me. And we are going to assert the supremacy of God in every area of my life. We are going to say, the Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is my Lord and my God and my Savior. I'm going to rejoice in Him. I have rejoiced in Him, and I'm going to magnify Him. And dear friends, this is not just for John or Mary. It's for me. It's for you. It's for all of us. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we bow before your sovereign majesty. Oh, may we learn from the mother of our Lord. She was only a dear young girl of a tender age, and already she was so steeped in holy scriptures, and she was so ready to obey you, and she submitted all her soul to you. She has rejoiced in your plan for her. She has called you her Savior. Lord, may we follow her footsteps of faith. Oh God, give us grace to hold fast to you, to magnify the Lord our God. Bless each and every one of us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.